Okay, welcome back. Hope everyone had an enjoyable Pesach. I just want to correct one thing on the record from the last Chavur, in case anyone remembers. In answer to the question, I think I made a comment indicating that violation of a Melacha D'oraisa, i.e. P'sik Reshe, may only be the Rabbana, and that's not the case. Violation of Melacha D'oraisa, i.e. P'sik Reshe, presumably is a D'oraisa violation. That's the bottom line answer in that context is the same, but just to correct that for the record. What I want to focus on today is to get to the halachas of remiza in the context of Amir Lenachri, but in order to do that, we have to first analyze, at least in broad terms, the Isser Hana'a from a malacha performed by Anachri on behalf of Israel on Shabbos. How remiza plays out and under what circumstances certain types of remiza may be mutter is basically dependent on how we view or the parameters of the Isser Hana'a from Melechas Nachri. So the Mishnah tells us in Shabbos and Daf Kuf Kuf Beis Amud Aleph, Shabbos Kuf Kuf Beis Amud Aleph, Nachri Shehillek Ataner Mishtamesh Leoro Yisrael. So if a non-Jew lights a candle on Shabbos for his own use, meaning for the use of the non-Jew himself, then a Jew is permitted to incidentally use that light, since the light was not lit with the intention of benefiting the Jew. The image for Yisrael, aser. However, if a Nachri lights a candle on behalf of Yisrael, he performs a malacha, even if not asked, he performs a malacha to benefit a Yisrael, then there's an iser derabanan for the Yisrael to have hana'a from that Maisa Shabbos done by the Nachri on his behalf. Who is the subject of this iser? So the Mishnah doesn't distinguish between the person for whom the candle was lit and anyone else who happens to be there or would be in a position to benefit from the light. So the Mishnah seemingly would prohibit benefit from the Maisa Shabbos performed by Nachri even for an unintended recipient of that malacha. Okay. However, if you look at the Gemara in Beitzah on Daf Kafhei Amud Beis, the Gemara starts on Kafdalad Amud Beis and carries over to Kafhei Amud Aleph. So there, in the context of a non-Jew who brought an object for the benefit of Yisrael on Yontiv Michutzakum, so under certain circumstances, the Yisrael is not allowed to benefit from that object which was brought for him Michutzatchum. However, the Gemara there says, Habab Dishvil Yisrael Ze Mutter Yisrael Acher, that if the package was delivered for the use of Reuven, Shimon is allowed to benefit from it on Yontif. Reuven is not allowed to because it was brought on his behalf. However, since it was not brought on behalf of anyone else, the other person would be allowed to benefit from that object which is brought on Yontif. The Rashi here is bothered, what is the difference between this din in Beitzah and our Mishnah in Shabbos? Our Mishnah in Shabbos does not distinguish between Yisrael Zeh and Yisrael Acher, and the Gemara in Beitzah explicitly does distinguish between Yisrael Zeh and Yisrael Acher. The Rashi assumes, Dibur Maskil Chutz L'Tchum Asurin Tap Rashi An Kafhei Amud Aleph in Beitzah. Rashi here assumes that since Tchumen is an Isser Derabbanan itself, so this Zera benefiting from Melechas Nachri was not extended to Isurei Derabbanan. So the Mishnah Shabbos is talking about an Isser Deraisa of Hadlakas Ner on Shabbos. So if a Nachri performs a Melacha Deraisa on behalf of a Jew, then it's Asur for any Jew to benefit from that Melacha. However, if the Nachri performs a Melacha Derabbanan, then the Isser Hana'a is limited to the person for whom the Melacha was intended, but not for other Jews. So that's Rashi's distinction here on Daf Kafhei Amud Aleph, and Tosos here quotes Rashi and agrees as well. The top Tosos on Daf Kafhei Amud Aleph, Dibur Maskil Haba Bishvil Yisrael Zeh, and Tosos says the same thing in Shabbos on Daf Kuf Kafhei Amud Aleph, Dibur Maskil V'im Bishvil Yisrael Aser, V'im Bishvil Yisrael Aser. The Tosos agrees to Rashi that the distinction is basically between a Melacha D'oraisa and a Melacha D'rabbanan. Again, Melacha D'oraisa performed on behalf of the Yisrael on Shabbos the hanah is going to be aser for anyone. If it's a malacha de rabbanan, it's only going to be aser for the intended recipient.
If it's the rabbanan, why is it even aser for the recipient? If it's a rabbanan, then
so we treat it. So we view that presumably as some form of kula chad gzeira, that that's all part of the same package. Or it's a... Yeah. Okay, if you look in the Ran, on Daf Mem Vav Med Aleph B'Dap HaYerif, in Mesachel Shabbos, the Ran Mem Vav Med Aleph B'Dap HaYerif, Dibra Maskel V'Ika, the Ran Mem Vav and Aleph and Shabbos Dibra Maskel V'Ika. The Ran there at the end of the piece quotes from some of the Chachmei Sfarad a different distinction between the case of Chumen and the Mishnah Shabbos, but not a blanket distinction between the Raisas and the Rabbanans, but rather when it comes to Chumen there's a specific reason for extra leniency because there is no objective. That which comes michus atchum is not objectively usher, meaning different people have different tchumim, so that which is outside of my tchum may not be outside of your tchum. There's a certain subjectivity to that isser, so to the extent that it's usher to benefit from certain objects that are brought michus atchum, well, that may only be relevant to a certain subpopulation to begin with, because that which is outside of my tchum may not be outside of your tchum. So because of that local detail in Hilchos Chumen, the more subjective nature, so the Isser Hana'a was not extended to other people. But according to that approach we've shown him, which you have in some of the Chachmei Sfarad, Chumen would be unique, and aside from Chumen, the Isser Hana'a would apply broadly to Yisrael Acher, even by other Drabbanans as well. Okay, how do we assume Lahalacha? So if you look in Shulchan Aruch, the beginning of Simen Resh Ayin Vav, Mechaber writes Simen Resh Ayin Vav Seif Aleph. Eino Yehudi Shehilak Asaner B'Shvil Yisrael Asul Akol Atila L'Misha Lohud Lak B'Shvilah. So if an Achri performs a malacha, a lak asaner on behalf of Yisrael, it's asur for any Yisrael to benefit. Look at the Mishnah Brura here, Seif Katan Gimel. So the Mishnah Berurah here quotes the reason of Rashi and Tosfos that it's a general distinction between the Raisas and the Rabbanan, it's not limited to Tchumen per se. So Lahalacha we assume, Mishnah Berurah here quotes the Prima Godem, Lahalacha we assume that the Isser Hana'a is limited when it comes to Yisrael and the Rabbanan to the intended recipient of the Malacha. Okay, so should come out according to that. If in our contemporary times when many lights, according to many poskim, are only a Malacha de Rabbanan, so there's presumably more grams to be makel for a in a situation where a Nachri turned out a light for Yisrael, the Isser, that if we're talking about fluorescent according to many poskim, LED according to most poskim, then there may be more grounds to allow benefit from that light on Shabbos, even if it was turned on by the Nachri, the Isser, so to speak. Okay. Then the Gemara there in Beitza, going back a couple lines, working backwards to Kafdal with Amid Beis, has another detail over here. The Gemara quotes Amar Papa Hilchasa, four lines to the bottom. Nachri Shehevi Daron Liyisal Bayantiv. So if a non-Jew brings a present to a Jew on Yantiv, so Im Yesh Be'oso Amin B'Mukhubar Asr, Im Yesh Be'oso Amin B'Mukhubar Asr, that's a Mukhs issue. So it would be usher, if it's the type of thing that would be subject to Talisha, then it's Moksa, and therefore it would be usher for the Yisrael to benefit from it, even inside the Tchum. The Gemara says, that even once Yantiv is over, it would be usher to benefit from this present that was brought to the Jew until Bichdei Shiyasu, until the amount of time elapses where the Nafi could have performed that malacha after Shabbos, or anyone could perform that malacha after Shabbos is over. So here the Gemara presents the din of Bichdei Shiyasu, that where it's usher to be nana from a malacha performed on behalf of Yisrael on Shabbos, that Isra Hanah extends beyond Shabbos for the length of time of Bichdei Shiyasu, which we'll try to define in a few moments. What is the reason for this additional Isser? Why don't we say that the minute Shabbos or Yantav is over, it's going to be Mutter B'Hanah? So Rashi writes over here, Chaf Dalet Amaveiz and Beitza Dibra Maskel Lula Erev. Rashi writes, Kidei Shelo Yahana Mi Malachas Yantav, that you shouldn't come to be Nana from Malacha performed on Yantav. So if we allow you to benefit the minute Yantiv is over, so you're basically benefiting from something that was done on your behalf on Yantiv. If you wait a few minutes or the hour, the amount of time it would take to do the malacha after Yantiv, so then even though it was performed on Yantiv, you're not benefiting from the fact that it was done on Yantiv, because it could have just as well have been done after Yantiv, and the benefit is all the same. Okay, so Rashi says the reason for this din of Bichdei Shiyasu is you shouldn't come out being nana from malacha that was performed on Yantav. Tosus here argues in Rashi. Tosus assumes, if that's the case, if the reason was, Tosus asked rather, if the reason was like Rashi, that the Kadesh Yasa is Kadesh Lo Yahana Malacha Yantav, you shouldn't benefit from malacha performed on Yantav, so why is this different than the din of Mevashel B'Shabbos, Machlokas Rebbe, Rebbe Huda, B'Yochanan, and Sandler, where we paskin mevashel b'shabbes b'shogeg ochal, that if a Jew is mevashel b'shabbes b'shogeg, so then it'll be mutar, at least for others. Others could benefit, according to that day in Tanam, others could benefit from the malacha that the Jew performed on Shabbos. If we have this notion of shelo yahana b'malachas yantar b'malachas Shabbos, so why is it that by mevashel b'shabbes, regular ma'aseh Shabbos, a malacha performed by Yisrael b'shogeg, then someone's allowed to benefit from that malacha even on Shabbos itself? That Tosus is Kasha on Rashi, and therefore Tosus has a different understanding of Bichdei Shiyasa. The reason for the Dinder Rabbanan, the added Dinder Rabbanan, the extension of the Isser Hanami Malachas Nachri, is Kadesh Lo is Shema Yomer Lenachri Lech Ulakeit. We're worried that you may come and tell the non-Jew, if you're allowed to perform, to benefit from the malacha the minute Shabbos or Yantav is over, so that you may come and tell the guy on Yantav itself, do the malacha for me, because I know that I'll be able to benefit from it the minute Yantav is over, so I'm going to save myself time after Yantav, so I know I can't benefit from it on Yantav, but if I tell the non-Jew to do the malacha for me on Yantav, then I'll be able to benefit from it the minute Yantav is over. Judah.
That doesn't seem to work as well as Rashi, though, because if it's stopped with something that you don't need right after Yantav, then, you could still tell the non-Jew to do it, and, knowing, you just want them to do it. But
then you don't have any benefit from the fact that it was done on Yantav. They could have just as well done an after Yantav. That's Tosafot Kashya and Rashi. That's why Tosafot thinks the reason is Shelo Yomer Lenachri Leich Lakot, and that's why Tosafot argues that Rashi, in the local context of Yantiv, let's say you have a 2-day Yantiv, so Nachri performs a malacha on behalf of Yisrael on Yantiv Rishon. So are you allowed to benefit from that malacha on Yantiv Sheni?
So what is the kasha that Tosafot has on Rashi from Mevashel B'Shogeg?
So why, if it's the case that we're worried Shelo Yahana Malachas Yantiv, so why is it that the din according to one day in Tanaim, or maybe 2 days in Tanaim, is that Mevashel B'Shabbos B'Shogeg Yochal? So there also you're benefiting the Malachas Shabbos.
There's no Kiddush Yasu there.
You even have to benefit on Shabbos itself.
Oh,
right. Or if it's, again, subject to Machlokas or Meir Yehuda, there, either you're allowed to benefit according to Meir and Shabbos itself, according to Yehuda, after Shabbos with Ebbeth Leshiasa. Fine. So Rashi and Tosfos argue about how this then applies on a two-day yantiv. You know, Tosfos assumes that because the concern is you're going to tell the nafkah to do the malacha yantiv, so it's going to be usher to benefit until motzei yantiv sheni b'chdei she'asa. So you could take a look at the Rashi and Tosfos here. Rachav, it's not so much our topic. If you look in the Rush here in Beitza, Parag Gimel Simon Beis, the Rush suggests a couple other possible nafkaminas between Rashi's reason and Tosfos's reason. Is there a din of Bichdei She'asa for a Cheirin? This din of Bichdei She'asa, does that only apply to the person for whom the Malacha was performed? Or does it apply to the Yisrael Acher, to the other people who are ushered to benefit as well? So the Rush says that it should follow, that if the concern is Shelo Yahanim Malachas Yantiv, that you shouldn't benefit from Malacha that was performed on Yantiv, so there shouldn't be any distinction between the person for whom the Malacha was performed and anyone else. There's a general objective consideration that no Jew should benefit from Malacha that was performed on Yantiv. So the Rush thinks, according to Rashi, there shouldn't be any distinction in the din of Bechdei She'asa between the person for whom the malacha is performed and others. However, according to Tosfos, if the reason is we're worried that if we allow you to benefit the minute Shabbos or Yantiv is over, then you're going to tell the Nafi to do the malacha for you on Shabbos or Yantiv, so that consideration may only apply to the person who's getting the benefit directly, the person for whom the malacha is performed, but for someone else, so you don't have that same degree of consideration that he may tell the Nafi to perform the malacha directly, because he was never the intended recipient of the malacha, and he wasn't around for the performance of the malacha. The Mishnah Berurah in the beginning of Simen Tav Kuf Tesvav in Hilchos Yantiv, so the Mishnah Berurah has a hakdama to Simen Tav Kuf Tesvav, and the quotes nafkamina. He points out it's not necessarily bechreach; it's possible, but not muchach. Okay, and then the Rashi has another nafkamina. How long is the Shira Bechdei She'asa? So let's say the case of the Gemara in Beitza. The case there is that the Nachri brings a present to a Jew. He brings some fruit. And the fruit, let's say we're talking about Yesh Mamina B'Mechubra, so theoretically he could have gone to the fields outside of the city to pick the fruit off the tree, and then he brought it to the Yisrael.
But maybe the fruit wasn't outside Chum, it was like...
It had nothing to do with Chum. Yeah, here we're not talking about Chum. So the Nachri brought the Jew picked fruit on Yantiv. So is the Bechdei She'asa the amount of time it takes to pick the fruit, which is about 3 seconds, or is it Bechdei She'asa the amount of time it takes to walk from the Jew's house to the orchard and to pick the fruit and then come back? Is the amount of time that it would take you to go and get to the place where the malacha was performed and then come back? Because let's say I wanted to get that fruit myself, so it would take me half hour to get to the fruit tree to pick it and come back. Or is it the 3 seconds that it took to pick the fruit? So the Rush thinks, according to Rashi, if the concern is Kidei Shelo Yehanu Malachas Yantiv, so then it should just be 3 seconds. Because I'm not benefiting from the malach itself, took 3 seconds. So I'm not benefiting from the malacha that was performed on Yantiv if I wait the minimal amount of time until I use it after Yantiv. If the concern is that I'm going to tell the Nachi to do the malacha on my behalf, so maybe I should have the following consideration, that if you're allowed to use it within a half hour after Yantiv, a person may make the following cheshbon: I want to have this food as soon as Yantiv is over, So I'm going to tell the Nachri to go and pick the fruit for me. And that way, I know I can't use it on Yom Tov, but as soon as Yom Tov is over, I'll wait the 10 seconds it takes to pick the fruit, and then I'll be able to eat the fruit. So Rosh thinks that that may be an Nafka Mina as well. How do we paskin on these? So in Shulchan Aruch, it sounds like we paskin on both of these Nafka Mina the way the Rosh presented the Das Tosos. That number one, the din of Iftishiyas applies to Acherim as well, not only to the person for whom the Malacha was performed. And number two, we pass in like the longer shear of the Iftishiyasa in Simin Tav Kuf Tesvav. Nevertheless, the Mishnah Berurah in different places seems to quote either Rashi or Tosfos or both Rashi and Tosfos. So how this all works in terms of do we assume maybe we assume like both reasons of Chumrah? But if you look in our siman over here, in siman Shin Zayin, Sifkat and Ayin Beis, so it says in Shulchan Aruch there in Sifkat, siman Shin Zayin Sifkat, Yisrael she'amar le'ena Yehudi la'asas malacha b'shabbes, muter la'lihanos ba'la erev b'chdei she'asu. Okay, so we have this din of b'chdei she'asu. It says in Mishnah Berurah b'chdei she'asu Ayin Beis. V'lo kodem, why? K'dei shelo yavo lomer l'eini Yehudi l'asas malacha b'shabbos. So you go with Rashi's reason.
That's
Tosfos,
isn't it?
Yeah. No, I'm sorry, you go with Tosfos' reason, right. K'dei shelo yavo lomer l'eini Yehudi l'asas malacha b'shabbos. However, if you look in Simon Shin Kapei Sif Katan Mem Dalet, Simon Shin Kafei Sif Kata and Mem Dalid. So the Mishnah Berurah there writes, sorry, Mem Beis. Chavir has the following din. Davish ein b'chashash seida b'mechuber elashuva mechutzet chum. So if something was brought mechutzet chum on Shabbos by a non-Jew, b'shvil Yisrael, so it's also to eat it bo b'yom u'mishahuva b'shvilo u'le'erev b'chdei shiyasu. I thought the Mishnah Berurah here somewhere quoted just Rashi's reason. I don't see it at the moment. If you look back in the same Simen in Sifkat and Kafches, there the Mishnah Berurah quotes both Rashi's reason and Tosfos' reason in Shin Kafei Kafches. Okay. Now, what about either indirect or secondary hana'a from malacha performed by a nachri on Shabbos? The Rav Shlomo Zalman has the following tshuva. Mincha Shlomo Kama Simen Hei Anaf Beis. Mincha Shlomo Kama Simen Hei Anaf Beis. So there, Simen Hei Anaf Beis and Os Aleph, he quotes the following Magen Avraham. Magen Avraham is in Hilchas Yandiv. Simen Tav Kuf Yud Ches. Sif Katan Yud Dalid. Or Kaf Aleph. It's Kaf Aleph. Simen Tav Kuf Yud Ches. Sif Katan Sif Katan. I think it's the second to last Sif Katan Yud Simen. I think it's Kapalef. So the Magen Avraham there at the following din, a Jew has vegetables, lefasos, that are locked in a closet in an inaccessible location on Shabbos, and a non-Jew comes and breaks a lock so that the Yisrael can eat the vegetables. The Magen Avraham there writes that if the Nachri performed this malach on behalf of Israel, he broke down or he performed the malach to allow access to the vegetables, it's Aser Yisrael. What does it mean it's Aser Yisrael? So Shlomo Zalman explains, it means it's Aser for the Yisrael to eat it. Why is it Aser to the Yisrael to eat it? There's no malach performed on the vegetables per se. So it must be, if not for the fact that the Nachri performed the Malacha, it would have been impossible to eat these vegetables on Shabbos. So eating the vegetables would be considered a Hana'a from Malacha's Nachri performed on behalf of Yisrael. And even though there are situations where, if let's say a Nachri brings food Michutz Chum for Yisrael, if the food isn't Muksa, if the food is not Yesh B'mina but Mechuber, so then you're allowed to eat the food. So there, the food is not objectively inaccessible to anyone. It's accessible and mutter to the people who are inside the Chum where the food originated. Supposed to hear the vegetables that are in the boar that's under lock and key that can't be accessed, so there it's inaccessible to anyone, and therefore to benefit from that vegetable would be a violation of this Isser HaNam. So that's how Shlomo Zalman understands this Magen Avraham. And then he says that that's the case. Let's say you have the following scenario. A person is locked out of an apartment and the key is in a Rishis HaRabim. So Nachri comes and opens the apartment, opens the door with the key that he brought from Rishis HaRabim in violation of a malacha deraisa. So there, it would be usur to benefit from anything in the apartment on Shabbos, because you're essentially benefiting from a malacha that was performed on your behalf by an Nachri, even though the benefit that you're having is somewhat secondary to the actual malacha that was performed. That's what Shlomo Zalman writes in Mincha Shlomo Simen Hei.
It should have an effect on the hotels that you spoke about. The opening hotel room would be... But just to go back to the Magen Avraham, why is it asked for everyone to be nana from the... Why isn't it asked Bishvil, the person who the thing was broken for?
So presumably we're talking about a case where it involved a malacha deraisa to break it. So derech tika, not kilko, whatever the scenario was, it's a scenario that involved presumably a malacha deraisa.
The guy could have done it with derech.
Maybe it's a scenario where he could have done it with anything short of a deraisa.
So in terms of being nana, does it matter?
Yeah.
Does that factor matter whether the goy could have done it? I mean, there's always the Isra of Mir Akram and then there's the Isra of being nana.
Right.
If the goy could have could have broken the kli,
right,
the derech, and there was no Isra at all. It's just kilkul. Mm-hmm.
Right.
But he did it by doing a malacha. Does that make a difference in?
Is there an Isra hana'a where a malacha, a nafi performs a malacha on your behalf, but he could have gotten the same result? So if he's lighting the candle for you, so there's only one way to light a candle. But if it's something where the same result could be affected either derech tikkun or derech kilkul, let's say, and he chooses to do a derech tikkun, but he could have done a derech kilkul, do you have the same Isra or not? Arguably not. Because you're not fundamentally benefiting from the malacha performed by the nafri. Yeah.
You did a derisa, and you're being nana from the derisa, though.
If the effect is the same as had he done a derbani, he chose to do a derisa. So that was his. No, is that different than the standard? Standard case of Amir Nachri. I'm allowed to tell an Nachri to do something for me that could be done with Derech Hat or Derech Isser. He chooses to do with Derech Isser. That's his prerogative.
That's in terms of Amir Nachri, but in terms
right.
of the animal, what's going
on. So, how could the Isser of Hana be more common than the Isser of Amir itself? I assume they're the same. What?
Because of the goy, if the goy did it on his own.
The reason, again, the reason
for yidin, there is no amir al akum. The goy did it for you, and you never asked him, so there was
right.
no amir al akum. He could have done. He could have broken into the chest
right.
without doing a deraisa. So. He didn't.
Okay.
He did it for you, but you didn't ask him, so there's no amir al akum.
Mm-hmm. I assume it would be the same calculus. I hear what you're saying. I don't remember seeing this explicitly, so I have to take a look. Okay. Good. So that's what Rosh Zalman writes in Chelek Aleph. You can ask a question, but in a minute I'm going to tell you that Rosh Zalman is closer, so if that will answer your question.
Yeah.
Then, okay. So Rosh Zalman in Tinyana, Simen Kaf Beis, was closer. So he writes, and that's the first tshuva, the very lengthy tshuva. And the second tshuva is a brief tshuva. He writes that people showed me that in Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa they quoted my name, that in the case of the key and the Rishus HaRabim where the Nafi opened the door on Shabbos, and you're allowed to benefit from what's in the apartment, and that's against what I wrote in the tshuva. So Shlomo Zalman writes, you're right, and he's closer from what he wrote in the original tshuva. He thinks that We don't find precedent for assering the hana'a, something which is totally secondary to the malacha that was performed. Because you don't find, this is all a zera derabanan anyway, not to benefit from malacha performed by an achri, and lo matzinu, that zera derabanan was extended to secondary types of Hana. And then you have to figure out the Magen Avraham is talking about a limited situation. Rabbi Carr points out that if you look at the Chayi Adam in Simen Samach Beis If Kafav, Simen Samach Beis If Kafav, but he quotes the stem of the Magen Avraham, he adds a few words. And he says the case is where Rabbi Karp Sefer Chelek Beis, page Taf Resh Mem Hei. Chelek Beis, page Taf Resh Mem Hei. So the Chai Adam, when he closes in, says we're talking about Peiros HaTemunim B'Karka, fruit that was buried in the ground, Dibai Mar B'Chatzina Lotzia. Where you need a hoe, you need tools, you need to actually, a shovel, you need to dig in order to remove them. So Rabbi Karp understands it must be the Chai Adam is coming to get out of this problem. Is why is the Magen Avraham not a precedent for other cases of indirect hana'ah? because he's talking about a very specific scenario where the fruits are wedged in the ground, they're buried, and you need to dig them out, so that's the equivalent of being tolish then. It's like you've done a malacha to the guf hachepes. You've actually done something, you've changed, just like if you mevashel a food, so something has changed in that object. So that object itself is subject to malacha that was performed on it, and therefore asur banos. So this fruit, there's a malacha performed directly on it, which is asur banos. Not just that the nachri banged down the door to the closet, and now you can get the stuff in the closet. That would be indirect. Here we're talking about where he basically dug it out, was tolish or kein tolish, that something was performed to the fruit itself, and that's why the fruit is asur. But in any further removed case of hana, that would be mutter. Okay. So the question, Abby?
That answered, but according to the, I guess, Korshul's on top of me, I guess.
Yeah.
He would have told you that you can't even walk into that room if the guy opened it.
Well, you have to figure out exactly what's considered hana'a. You couldn't use anything in the house. I guess you couldn't walk in. If you're walking in because it's raining and you need a place for shelter, probably, just stop to walk in and not do anything, maybe be okay. But
you're not allowed to sit on the couch.
Probably not, right.
Okay.
Does it say in the first tshuva that he's chozer?
I'm sorry?
Does it say in the first tshuva, like, I am tanya that he's chozer?
The footnote.
Right.
Yeah, the new edition, yes. But when he wrote the tshuva, he hadn't been closer yet. So
when they published it.
When they republished it in the new edition, they pointed out in the footnote, yes. What about at that level of Ruach HaKodesh we don't ascribe to our Gedolim? What about what we just discussed is what I would call secondary Hana. What about indirect Hana? Or negligible hana. Meaning what? So Mishnah Berurah has the following in Simen Shin Zayin Sif Katan Yud Aleph.
You stop repeating the Baruch Hu.
Sorry?
Usually you say it and then you say it again.
Fine, we'll say it again. Shin Zayin Yud Aleph. As in, probably better off look at Sukkot in Ayin Vav. A little more explicit there. So Simen Shin Zayin Sukkot in Ayin Vav. Let's just refresh our memory of the context. There are more rights. Kol davar she'asur lomar le'eino yehudi la'asos b'shabbos, asur lirmoz lo la'asos. So whatever you're not allowed to tell a nafi directly to do, you're not allowed to tell him birimiza. So I'm deliberately not reading the entire Mishnah Berurah for the entire context here, because we're going to get to that soon. But the Mishnah Berurah writes, in a case in which a Nochri enhances an already existing flame, if he improves the quality of the flame, Ein lesser mitam shenana mivlacha shas ein yehudi v'shvilo de'ein zahana kolkach. So there the iser hana'a mimalachas nachri doesn't apply. It's not the case, we're not talking about a case where the room's dark and he turns on the light. We're talking about a case where the light is dim and he raises it and he what's the opposite of dimming?
Brightening?
Yeah? And he brightens the light. So you have a weak flame and he enhances or increases the flame. So So there, Gami Kodem Hayayako Al Piyatkat Likros Oro. So, what? Sharpen. When there's a dim light, he's able to read. It's not as comfortable. So fundamentally, the Nakri, by increasing the quality of light, hasn't totally changed the equation. He just enhanced an already existing situation. So that's not considered Nener, or the Isser of Hanami Malachas Nakri doesn't apply where there is an incidental added benefit from the malacha that the Nakri performed. It's already light in the room, and he makes it a little bit lighter. So I could have read anyway, that there's nothing that I fundamentally am able to do now that he wasn't able to do before. I'm just able to do it in a slightly enhanced fashion. So the course of the Prima Gadim, this, so in that kind of a situation, there's no Isser Hana'a Mi Melechas Nakri. Let's say a Nakri comes along and extinguishes or turns off a light. So you don't want the light on. You didn't tell him to. You want to take a nap, and there's light on in the room. And the Nakri comes in and he turns off the light. So how do we quantify that Hana? So you're not nehene directly from the... There's no chefetz that's been created that you're nehene from. You're nehene from the absence of something. So, poskim generally assume that would be a permissible form of hana'ah. There's a lashon of the Chidushi Haran in Shabbos and Daf Kuf Kuf Beis, which Rabbi Simcha Bum Cohen quotes on page 11 of his English book. So the Ran there, in the context of Kiboy, says that the reason you're allowed to be Nana from a situation in which a Nakri extinguished the flame is She'eno Ela Silo Kezek. He's just removing something, he's not creating something. That's the Chidush Eiran in Shabbos and Daf Kuf Kuf Beis Amud Aleph. And that's what the Magen Avraham explains. If you look in Siman Shin Lamed Dalid Se'if Kuf He, Shin Lamed Dalid Se'if Kuf He, Eino Yehudi Shaba L'chabos Eino Tzarech Limchos B'yada. So that's the Mishnah Shabbos. Based on Mishnah Shabbos at least, if a Nakri comes to extinguish a fire on Shabbos, you don't have to be mocha. In general, if a Nakri is going to perform a lacha for you on Shabbos, you're supposed to be mocha. Tell them don't do it. But if it comes to kibbutz deleika, so then you don't have to be mocha. Magen Avraham explains, Magen Avraham there, Sif Katan Simon Shin Kaf, Simon Shin Lamadalid Sif Katan Kafav, Simon Shin Lamadalid Sif Katan Kafav, Bhagavan Ram explains, based on this idea that he's only being Misalik Ahezek, he's not, you're not being Nana from the actual Malach itself, you're being Nana, or the product of Malach, you're being Nana from the absence of something. So Okay. Yeah.
Is that Bill meant to changing the degrees on the thermostat?
Meaning it's already.
It was on.
It was on, and then you wanted to get colder or warmer. So even in a situation in which you don't say a kolomyoslosina, or there's no kola, or there's no extreme heat. Well, that may depend on whether the heat is. If the thermostat is such that right now the heat's not on, and then you're telling him to, if by changing the thermostat the heat's going to go on,
no,
then he's turning the heat on.
I would say the heat is on, or you're making it warmer, or the AC is on and you're making it cooler. I understand from heat to warm.
Right.
That's too much.
So it's already on, and the air conditioner is on medium, and you want him to turn it up to high. No, not that you want him to. You can't tell him to do it. That's still a violation of your monopoly. He comes in and he does it on his own. So you're sitting in the room and it's pretty cool, or it's moderately cool, and the monopoly comes in and he turns it higher. You didn't ask him to. Maybe you're even bocha, or you weren't there, and then he did it on his own. So you're saying that should be equivalent to increasing the quality of the flame. Okay, I hear.
So are we just sitting now tell it going to turn on the AC? Do you mean the AC is a derabanan and you're lucky the derabanan and therefore...
In a situation, under certain circumstances, but for the purpose of Eliyahu's question, we're talking about a case where it's not with her.
Yeah.
Good. Shlomo Zalman has the following in the third edition, Simen Lamed Os Mem Ches. Simen Lamed Os Mem Ches. So he talks about the following scenario. A Jew sitting in his home, the light's on, and Nachi comes in and he turns the light off. Maybe not in your house, you're in some public place. But Nachi comes in and he turns the light off. And he realizes, oh, there's someone here. And then he turns the light back on. So, in that situation, he performed a malacha for you, because for a moment the light was off, and then he's turning the light on. There should be usher to be nana from the malacha that the nachwi did. Shlomo Zalman says that might still be mutter, based on, along the lines of the comment the Mishnah Berurah makes in Be'er Halacha in the beginning of Simen Resh Ayin Vav. Be'er Halacha in the beginning of Simen Resh Ayin Vav. Says the following, Dibur Maskil Litzorcho. So the case in Shulchan Aruch is that if the non-Jew lights the candle for his own benefit or for a permissible benefit, so then other Jews are allowed to use the light. Says the Mishnah Berurah Be'er Halacha, Vime ina Yehudi hilak eza kisei moner mishem pasol, asa v'shtam shlefan v'lo adif, etc. Chazal Yerabim, ina Yehudi shabratu l'saki ner shel Yisrael. So the Ein Yehudi is attempting to enhance the flame. In the case that we just discussed, where there's already a flame, so it would be mutter lahanos from the additional flame because you could read anyway. The nichva biyado, and in its attempt to enhance the flame, it extinguished the chazir v'liko, and then he realized, oops, and then he relit it. Nearly the mutter, the zahavi kamo litzorcho. So that's considered the Nachri lighting it for his benefit. What's for his benefit? Because he goofed. If he wouldn't have done anything, the flame would still be on. So he was attempting to enhance the flame. Instead, he extinguished it. So he made a mistake, and he's now relighting it to correct his mistake. So that's considered, Mishnah Berurah from Eli Rabba, that's considered litzorcho, not litzorach Yisrael. So the Shmir Shabbos Lukasa says, that's this case. You're sitting minding your own business, and in comes some nachri, doesn't realize you're in the room, and he turns off the light, and then he realizes you're there, and he turns it back on. So he's doing that litzorcho. He's coming to rectify the mistake that he made by turning out the light. It's not considered that that malacha is litzorach Yisrael. So says the Shlomo Zalman. So says Shmir Shabbos Lukasa, sorry. Simon Lamed, Os Nem Tes. Avi.
So according to the this concept that it brought down the earlier album, does that mean if a guy was responsible to do things before Shabbos or Yom Tov, he neglected to do so and decides to do it, or decides to try to make up for it on Shabbos or Yom Tov? It sounds like in that case you wouldn't have to be Mocha because the guy is just trying to make up for his mistake.
For example,
a guy is expected to, let's say, wash the floors or sweep the floors before Shabbos Yom Tov, and he neglected to do so. And he wants to do it on Shabbos, so then it's a takana not to do that.
What was the reason that he was supposed to do before Shabbos? He's supposed to clean your house. But when Shabbos began, it wasn't clean. So it wasn't, you're going to be, in a situation where there's a malacha involved, you're going to be benefiting from malacha performed for you on Shabbos. So you made a deal. There are a lot of things that you would have liked to have happened before Shabbos, but you didn't do it. You gave your suit to the cleaners before Shabbos, and you told them you needed it for Shabbos, and wasn't ready for Shabbos. You said, oh, I'm sorry, I'll do it tonight, I'll bring it over to you and drop it off. That would probably still be usher. Here we're talking about, okay, on Shabbos, the guy made a mistake, and he messed up, so he has to correct it. So.
Does it matter that in the case of the Ben Halacha, he's working for you, or correcting a mistake is only relevant in that he's your employee?
No, he's not your employee. Not your employee. It doesn't say that. And Shmir Shabbos doesn't assume that. Yeah, Michael.
So in the case of, say, turn the light, you're still there, I don't like make a noise to show him that you're making a mistake, someone's still in here, or is that considered like telling him to do a lot for you?
According to Eli Rav, it should probably follow that you could, because he's just going to be rectifying his mistake. I could hear the argument that you probably couldn't say, hey, what did you do? Maybe you could say, and a good evening to you too. I don't know. Okay, I think we're out of time. We didn't get to Remiza today. What I would like to do is to reconvene tomorrow just to talk about Remiza. It probably won't be a full-length Chabura, but I don't want to fall further behind. And my plan is to have another Chabura on Wednesday and then on Monday. And that will conclude our treatment of this topic. And then we'll have a week for Chazara. And